Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. This is episode, 1252, coming to you on the bye week on a Saturday. That's when we're recording this. So if trades or whatever happened from now till whenever we go live next, which I doubt because the majority of teams have their games this week. So they're not working trades the day before a game and messing up a game plan, things like that. Now, if it's a player that is already inactive because of a quote-unquote injury, there are a few of those that apply, that's a little bit different story. But we're recording this just after 10 a.m. That's when we are live. And I want to say thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, Kilted 49er, and David Gill. I do that at the end of a lot of episodes. I need to start doing that at the beginning. Without them, this show does not happen. And I'm excited because today we're going to be talking, you know, a couple questions on personnel. We're going to be talking trade rumors. We're going to be doing a little bit of NFC West watch, what to pay attention to this week without the Niners having a game, get into a few bets, and go through updated 49ers rankings at the halfway point of the season. Now, 49ers have played eight. There's nine left, but this is the halfway point for the 49ers. After this week is the halfway point for most teams, but the 49ers haven't had their bye yet. Obviously, that's taking place now, and so that's what I want to talk about. And peek forward to the next game just a little bit as we got the Tampa Bay Bucks and the single – there's not much that qualifies this. The 49ers get a rest advantage. The 49ers get more time off than the team we're playing. Doesn't happen many times this year. In fact, it only happens twice. But not only do we get the full bye week, but also the Bucs play on Monday Night Football. That's minus another day. So 8 days positive rest for the 49ers. They better enjoy it. Want to say thank you to the Countdown crew. What's up, RTP? Freaking awesome. Orlando, appreciate you guys. Steven, what's up, man? Good to see you in the chat, man. People showing up strong. And obviously, as always, if you guys got something you want to talk about, throw that up in the chat. I will divert whatever it is we got for the people that take their time to join us live. It means the world to me. And it doesn't matter how you listen and or watch. I could not be more thankful for what you guys bring to the table and help with this. Steven, he says, hashtag CC, the Countdown crew is strong. Let's trade for Max Crosby. I am 100% in. But with all trade requests, you kind of have to have three. You got to have the team that wants to trade for him agree. You've got to have the team that wants to trade him away agree. And you kind of have to have the player agree whenever they're at certain contract status like a Max Crosby. Sadly, I think that this is a one out of three agree. I don't think Max wants to come here. I don't think that the Raiders would trade him away. And on top of all of that, the Raiders would not trade Max Crosby to the 49ers either. Go back to Khalil Mack days, the beginning of Shanahan, when they offered a better package than the Chicago Bears. And they did not want to trade away Khalil Mack to the 49ers. They'd rather take less, and they did take less, to send him elsewhere. If Max Crosby was on the market, I think other teams could offer more than the 49ers. And even if the 49ers tied in whatever that offer package was, I think the Raiders would still take less. So, yes, Steven, I would. Yes, Steven, the 49ers would. But I don't think the Raiders would. And I also don't think Max Crosby would. Rainier, love waking up on Saturdays. John Chapman Live. That's what's up, man. Hey, Shajay. Good to see you, brother. Always good to see you. Dave in the house. This is awesome. Oh, Dave corrected me and is 100% correct. This is only halfway point of our regular season. The 49ers will play on. It's funny because here, I want to ask this question. You know, if you go to any betting site, obviously MyBookie, you can see it behind me, sponsors the show, mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. It helps the show tremendously. But you go to, you know, all these MyBookie betting sites and you look at, like, the NFL odds of making the playoffs, the 49ers, they are still 100% the favorite of the NFC West. Like, you look at them, now it's plus money, and it has been for, like, 3 weeks, which means, like, okay, let's say you put $10 in for the 49ers to win the NFC West. Well, you get $11 back. It's shrinking a little bit. It's coming back down to negative. But here's my question to you that I want everybody in the chat, I want you to answer. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's a certainty, 1 being not happening at all, what number confidence do you give the 49ers making the playoffs? Not necessarily winning the division, just being in the playoffs this year. 1 to 10. 10 being it's a fact, 1 being... I don't know. I'm trying to think of the worst team in the NFL. There's a lot of them. The Carolina Panthers. You know, you look at the schedules. There's a lot of bad teams. So I want to see what you guys have to say, because mine is really, really high. I'm at like close to like 8.7. I could never give like a straight answer. But here we go. The answers are coming in. Start with my man Matthew. He says 10. Steven says 6. Steven 10. Dave 9. There we go. Shot J 8, 8, 8, 8, 4. Steven says 6. Reggie 8. Yeah, Slick says 20. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Paul, what's up, brother? That's because we're the best team in the NFC West. I think everybody agrees with that. I was gonna go Jets. Yeah, obviously they got that one win and you know they turned on some things, but yeah, Jets ain't making the playoffs. Paul says 10. He's biased. 6.5 from Sean, 10, 10. Ooh, Paul's got like 5 tens in there. Darren, my man from Hawaii. Hey, brother. He's got a 7 on there. So, man, we're confident. And you're getting plus money. So, like, I don't know if you guys are better or not, but if you are, if you think the 49ers are going to the playoffs, there's money to be had. I've constantly re-upped on that one. So, we'll see. So, like, that's where the 49ers are. And shoot, man, let's just add some gas to the fire. If we're 4-4, we're tied for first place. We'll see what happens and how this weekend shakes out. But if Christian McCaffrey is coming back, and I think that he is, will it be to the old whatever? Yeah, I'll go back to this. This was a question earlier in the offseason, whatever. Christian McCaffrey was asked, Christian, how long is the 49ers championship window open?
I don't know. I know we got a window this year. That's all I know. So I'm focused on this year and taking it, you know, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time.
There we go. And look, Dave, my man, says more injuries to key positions is the only thing that will hold us back. And I'll say this. We're going to lose more people. We have 9 more regular season games. It's 100% injury game. More people will be hurt. However, will those injuries overshadow getting back Christian McCaffrey, getting back Drake Greenlaw, getting back Talanoa Hufanga, getting back John Feliciano, getting back all these guys, Yetergross Matos? Man, shoot, let's go. I just want to go take a real quick peek at just the players that we have on IR that can come back. Obviously, I've said the majority of them. Yeah, man. Yeah. Curtis Robinson, get back our kicker, right? I think that's huge. So there's a lot of guys that you could get back. So the question is, if we're weighing the scales, are the injury predictions that are going to take place, more people are going to get injured, is that going to outweigh the amount of reinforcements that you're supposed to get back? We don't know the answer to that. I would argue if you get Christian McCaffrey back and Drake Greenlaw back, that's as big as a reinforcement, kind of rebuttressing of what this team is built on. Oh, man. Whew. AJ, if we have our team healthy with key players for the rest of the season, it's an 8 to a 9.5 we make the playoffs. If we have to consider CFC and other starting wide receiver or defensive player now, it's not as high, obviously. Well said. Well said. What's up, Edgard? Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, brother. Dave says, you know, if CMC comes back half the stud he was, it stays on the field, will be okay. Same with Greenlaw. Yeah, you don't expect them to come back to their status, but you're hoping they can work into that by the playoffs. That's Shachay. If we could just lose kickers and nobody else. Yeah, I'm with you there. Man, that is awesome. Now, here we go. Right here. I don't know where this is going. I didn't read the whole thing, so we'll see how it goes. It's over 9,000 TFS is the tag here. John, is there a way you could sit down with Kyle Shanahan? There is not. I wish there was. But if we did sit down, I would just ask a lot of questions. You know, I've talked about this book in the past. Like, Michael Silver does not follow me. This is not like a paid promotion by all. But his book that he just released about the why, it's absolutely incredible. So my morning routine, usually I like to read whenever I'm not completely overwhelmed with life and responsibility. So like lately in the bye week, I've returned to my reading in the morning, which is awesome. So I'm just reading like a chapter or two a day and doing a little bit of research on what he's talking about. It's all about like Shanahan and McVay and McDaniel and kind of how they've risen up in the coaching world. It's really, really good. And there's just a lot of questions I would ask Kyle. But your question says, if you could sit down with Kyle and tell him how a special team should run, also find out why he keeps using Bell and Conley more than Cowan. The special teams, Kyle doesn't care. Let me provide some context. Kyle Shanahan's belief, we win with offense, defense don't screw up a lot, and special teams be non-existent, will win the majority of the games we are in. It's a flawed thinking, okay? And I believe that. Every single phase of the game should give you an advantage. Kyle doesn't see that, right? So Kyle Shanahan's been here since 2017. He's now gone through two special teams coordinators. We're in the midst of the second one. Probably not going to be around much longer. He'll finish the season for sure. But after that, there should be a change. But we have faked zero punts in that time. Zero. Zero. His idea is, man, just don't lose it for us, special teams. That's it. It's a low standard. It's low ceiling. It's just like, look, man, we have to do this play. Sadly, don't mess it up for us. That's it. There is no go make an advantage. Go be like, that's not the mentality of the way Shanahan builds his coaching staff and philosophy in the three phases of the game. And we saw this with Steve Wilkes on the defensive standpoint. You do what I tell you to do. You do what I tell you to do. Don't cost us the game. Just play with the shell over the top. That's what it is. Steve Wilkes goes out. He gambles. Costs him in the Vikings game. Costs us in the playoff game a couple times. You're fired, buddy. I don't think anybody in the entire world would say Nick Sorensen is better than Steve Wilkes. If you gave Steve Wilkes the defense we have right now, the 49ers would be 6-2. I 100% believe that. 100% believe that. Now, a lot of other people would disagree, but I don't think anybody would disagree that Steve Wilkes is worse than Nick Sorensen is right now. No. Nobody believes that. Nick Sorensen doesn't believe that. Now, could Nick Sorensen be better eventually? Sure. Is Nick Sorensen better now? He is not. He's not even close. Not even close. Like, everybody understands that, right? Nick Sorensen might be great. He might be one of the best all-time defensive coordinators in NFL history. He ain't right now. He ain't right now. He's not.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42mm marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Now to your third part of your question, Jacob Cowing made a lot of mistakes this past game, lined up wrong, missed a block on the goal line that stopped a touchdown from happening with Debo. I'm a big Cowing fan, but yeah, this was a question I was worried about. Then you go through the tape and it's like, man, Cowing just keeps messing up little bitty errors. Bell sucks. Bell should not be playing. Cowing has, Chris Conley has been god awful this year. Like, if we look at just the, this is a PFF standpoint, the worst players on this team, 26 players have taken offensive snaps so far through 8 games for the 49ers. The worst rated player, Spencer Burford, 43.7. Second worst player, Ronnie Bell, awful, 46.2. Third worst player, Chris Conley, who's played 165 snaps. Chris Conley's played a lot. Those are the three worst players. Now, Jacob Gallant's the 8th highest ranked player because he provides playmaking ability. Should we play Ronnie Bell over Cowing? No, God, no. I personally, again, if I was sitting down and I was in charge of this roster, I would cut Ronnie Bell right now. I would try to sign him back on the practice squad, maybe, but no, there is no positive upside to him being on this team. Chris Conley, yes, but the Chris Conley we saw in the playoffs and last year is not the Chris Conley we have here. I don't know if it's father time. The speed still shows up on tape. He's just making a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. So, yeah, I do wish a lot of those things would change. I wish we would invest in special teams coordinator-wise. I wish we would go with high upside players instead of guys with no ceiling whatsoever. Uh-oh, chat's going crazy. Uh-oh. You guys got to calm down now. Steven. He says, John, Greenlaw won't be back till mid-December. The Niners need a linebacker. Trade Debo to the Texans for Aziz. Oh, wow, Steven, you going off the rails over here, man. I don't think you could trade Debo with Ayuk out. You got to keep Debo, especially with CMC not being fully whatever. Debo's more important. Aziz is injured. I don't think he played yesterday. I don't think he's on IR, but he's injured. I could use a linebacker, but here's what the 49ers are going to say. Devondre Campbell's coming off his best game. Correct. He played really, really well. Like, go watch our tape. The tape's up on the 49ersroyce.com. He played really well. He played great. By far his best game with the 49ers. Now, D Winters. I think D Winters is better than Devontae Campbell. But we're still not giving him a chance. That's still out there. So that's a problem. We'll see what that looks like. I'm not against trading for Aziz, but again, whenever you trade, you have to have three separate yeses. The team that wants Aziz, all right, cool. Let's say the 49ers want Aziz. That's cool. The Texans are in first place. They're not trading away their starting number one linebacker. Now, your thing is, oh, well, Debo for that, probably. I'd like to have Aziz back, but even Aziz, hey, Aziz, we want you back until Dre Greenlaw is good. Then you're going to be our number three linebacker. I think Aziz would like to come back, but probably not this year. I'm keeping Debo personally. Listen, chat's going crazy. I got to go past all this stuff. Yeah. there we go. Bozzy Mayan. He says it would have also been Wilk's second year with the defensive scheme. So would have been better as a coach too. Yes. Now I'm not disagreeing with the fact of moving on. If Kyle and him were at odds, which I think they were, I think Nick Bosa hated him. Nick Bosa made that very, very clear consistently throughout the season. And so, yeah, if it's not a fit, you move on. But you can piss players off sometimes. That's allowed. I'll tell you right now, if Steve Wilks was our DC, we'd be 6-2. I guarantee it. And again, my number one stat, the difference, and it's a different defense. The entire 2023 season, the 49ers were first in the NFL in fourth quarter scoring defensive-wise. Now we're 30th. We went from number one to 30th. And people are like, oh, well, you lost all these players. We didn't lose that many. Right here, David. I love this. He says, this was in my trade rumors section of my report. So Diane Russini of The Athletic, she talked about this. David says, what's this about Devin Godchalk from the New England Patriots per Russini to the Niners? They're talking. This is a defensive tackle. I did my full trade, like players, targets. I gave like 50 names and I ranked them all 1 through 10. I gave Devin Godchalk an 8. Like, he's a fit. We could use him. I don't think that we have to have him. If trading, we would be better with him. But our defensive tackles, okay, let's just go through our year-long ranks. And again, we're using PFF, which is just a snapshot. It's not whatever. Evan Anderson is our highest defensive tackle rated with the 89.9. He was good again. Limited snaps. And part of the reason is why I'm like, man, I would like to trade for a defensive tackle, but not if it means fewer snaps of Evan Anderson. That's not what I want. Let's stick with the defensive interior guys. You got to drop down far. So Evan Anderson's third. You got to go down to 15. Malik Collins, he's got a 60.8. Jordan Elliott at 17, 60.3. Kevin Givens, he's down 26 player, 51.6. T.Y. McGill, 28, 51.4. Then Kalia Davis, 47.1. Kalia Davis is only better than one defensive player. That's DFF this year. Kalia Davis has had a couple huge plays, consistently really bad. And that's the same also for Jordan Elliott. Like it's funny. Again, go watch the tape that we just broke down on the 49ersrush.com or a Patreon page. I'm sitting there just like, man, Jordan Elliott's getting abused. That dude's just getting turned around backwards and pushed 5 yards off the ball, like 3-4 plays in a row. And I say it, I was like, but this is what Jordan Elliott does. He has like 3 bad snaps, then 1 amazing snap. Sure enough, next play, splits 2 defenders, tackle for loss. So like, he's a splash player, but gives up a lot of positives. So could we use more defensive tackle depth? Yes. But does that mean Evan Anderson's going to play less? I'm not interested. If you're going to take away snaps from Kalia Davis, you're going to take away snaps from Kevin Givens, but you're still going to let Evan Anderson get like his 15 snaps a game, I'm all for it. And again, addition by subtraction, like I hate to say this, the defensive tackles got way better after that Javon Hargrave injury. I know that's crazy to say. The defense got better. As soon as that dude exited the starting lineup, we got better. I'm not saying I don't want him back. That's what I'm saying at all. I'm saying they got better. So I would like to trade for Davin. My assumption is probably a fifth or a sixth round pick. And he's not the only player. Diane Rossini also brought up Azeez Ojulari. That's who everybody's talking about. The edge rusher for the Giants. I had him as a 10. 10 out of 10. He is a perfect fit. And I think all three teams could agree because the Giants have their two star pass rushers. He's kind of the third extra guy. Bring him in. Now, I had a question. Let's stick with defensive line. Shout out to my man, Jared. Jared S. on Twitter. He says, is there any realistic chance we flip Leonard Floyd for a pick or player before the deadline? I do not think so. Now, Leonard Floyd's been bad. Okay, he has not been good. He's been the 25th player out of 30 this season. 30 defensive players have taken snaps for us. He's got a 54.4 grade. That's awful. He's got 25 pressures. That's second on the team. Malik Collins is right behind him. Sam O's going to catch him real soon. But he's not making plays, Leonard Floyd. However, he's not making a lot of mistakes either. He's the antithesis to Randy Gregory or Chase Young. You might get some Jordan Elliott. And I, again, go back to what is Shanahan's philosophy on non-offense? Don't screw it up. That's it. Don't screw it up. Leonard Floyd doesn't screw it up. Leonard Floyd doesn't make great plays. Leonard Floyd's not going to change the game, but Leonard Floyd's not going to give up huge first, second down plays because he missed an assignment. He doesn't miss assignments. He just doesn't make plays. So for the 49ers, I don't think that they see Leonard Floyd as a negative. He's played 311 snaps out of close to 500 defensively. That's a lot. He is available. He has taken snaps. He's not giving up, made mistakes. I think that's huge. And I think the 49ers value that. I know we want sacks. Leonard Floyd ain't going to get that many sacks. And the sacks that he is going to get, their second chance sacks. He's not beating anybody. That's just not who he is at this point in his game. Like you go watch Leonard Floyd sacks. It's not because he's destroying people or bending the edge. No, it's because Bosa gets there. The quarterback has to step up and scramble, and then he cleans it up. And I think the 49ers are fine with that. So I don't think they're trying to trade him, personally. That's just me. Again, he hasn't been good, but he hasn't been bad, if that makes sense. Edgar, appreciate the super sticker. I love it, the 149. You are the best. Thank you so much. Tommy, the super chat. Uh-oh. Tommy holds nothing back. Let me just tell you that about Tommy. Guitar savant. He says, Hargrave trash, Campbell trash, Wonder Bread, Swords, and Toilet. Happy birthday to me tomorrow. Happy 47th, dude. Happy early birthday. I hope you have a great time, man. You are the best of the best. I don't know if I'm with you on the trash takes. I usually don't like to say that, but I know you will. Man, when Tommy emails me or messages me during the game, I know it's going to be rough. That dude, he don't hold back at all. Orlando, how did Mr. Anderson play? Reminded me of you when I saw him on the field. Yeah, you see the Guardian cap. You can't hide him. It was good. Not great. Not his best game, but he's disruptive. I mean, at worst, Evan Anderson can push the guard back into the quarterback, the bull rush. It's effective every single play. So again, what are the 49ers' issues? We commit to small boxes, light boxes. 6 and 7 man boxes almost consistently because we stay in our nickel format. Too high safety look quite a bit. We're doing a lot more cover one this year, which I hate, but that's okay. So whenever you Kalia Davis, you're talking Javon Hargrave whenever he was playing, Jordan Elliott. When they face double teams, they get pushed backwards pretty consistently. Kevin Givens is the best technique against that, even though he's the lightest because he'll take a knee and just create a massive group of bodies to stop the run. Evan Anderson's the opposite. You're not pushing him back. He doesn't get blown off the ball 5 to 7 yards deep like Jordan Elliott does, like Kevin Givens does, like Javon Hargrave does. He doesn't. So the bulkiness and the absorption that he does against double teams is spot on. Now, is he out there getting all the sacks and whatever else? No. But that dude takes up so many positive run plays, they can't push him. So it's more positive tape. He's the third highest rated player that's taking stats for the 49ers. He's got an 89.9 grade. 90 is all pro. Now, he's only played 46 snaps this season. That's on the coaches. Get this dude out there. Get this dude out there. You look at, again, Kevin Givens has played 182. He's been injured late. Kalia Davis, 86 plays. He hasn't been very good, I'm going to be honest with you. And Jordan Elliott, 176, hasn't been good. He has splash plays. Malik Collins is beast, man. That dude's played 350 snaps from the defensive tackle position. I don't know if we could come back from a Malik Collins injury right now. So that trade, I think, would be huge. What's up, Big Papa? The man. The legend. I love it. Invader, trading for a big DE is the highest priority. I would love that. Now, Sam O has been incredible. There were three plays in this past game against the Cowboys where we should have been toasted for a huge explosive play, whether receiver running scot free downfield, huge penalty, whatever. Sam O bailed us out on three plays, just making freak plays. So, and you're about to get Etir Gross-Matos back. Like, Sam O is our hybrid Arden Key guy, where he's the outside defensive end, and on pass rush, he's the new NASCAR package. You see him lining up from the inside. In fact, I want to look this up. I haven't checked this out yet. I'm going to check out the actual snap counts of Sam Okwuanu, the detailed ones, because, okay, he's played 190 snaps so far this year, but in the last few games, it's not as many as I would have thought, where he's played inside as like a defensive tackle lined up on the blitzer, right? He's got 20. He's got 20 snaps this season in that kind of interior defensive line pass rusher mode. 20 snaps. Now, remember, it took him forever to elevate him to the roster, and so it's not like he's played all the games. He hasn't. It really only been a factor since week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So in 4 weeks, he's got 20 snaps. So 5 snaps a game, this dude is out there elevating the pass rush and doing a hell of a job. Doing a hell of a job. He's almost got as many pressures, everything, as Leonard Floyd does. And again, he's played 137 snaps. Leonard Floyd has played 311. The effectiveness is not even close. I personally, again, if I was in charge, Sam O, you're starting. Leonard Floyd, appreciate you. We're going to keep getting you in the rotation and probably like a 50-50 split, but there is no doubt in the world who the better player is right now. None. Yeah, Invader, it doesn't matter. We're going back just a little bit here on the Wilkes conversation. Doesn't matter if the players didn't like Willis, it's a no-go. Yeah, players didn't like him, certain players, and the head coach didn't like him. So, yeah, that's where it was. Invader, has Rossini ever reported anything that the Niners have done before they did it? She was spot on 100% with the Ayuk and Trent Williams stuff. I think she has a bigger in with the agents, personally. This is just my interpretation of her, which could be way off, but she was 100% accurate post of the thing. That's with Ayuk and Trent Williams talking about it. That contract, and I feel like she's good at the contract stuff, trade stuff. Who's been right about the 49ers? Whenever they do things, it's almost always out of the blue. Nobody saw us trading up. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road, but when the 49ers want information out there, they'll put it out there. And I will say this, she has been right several times about the New England Patriots. And so, again, back to those three things. It takes the 49ers, an opposing team, and an opposing player. So she might not be getting information from the 49ers, but she might be getting information from the Patriots, and she might be getting information from Devin Godchalk's agent or Aziz Ojulari's agent, things like that. But all the other stuff, we could see. Anthony, yeah, I like this. Trade with the Chargers for Dwelly or Hunter Henry from the Patriots. I want Austin Hooper from the Patriots. Chargers ain't trade nobody. They're buyers. But yeah, Dwelly, it's crazy how we miss him. Eric Saubert, I don't feel has been good. I really, really don't. Yeah, Bozzy Mayan. Love Evan Anderson and Sam O. Can't believe they were on the practice squad that long. Dude, I've been telling y'all from the start at training camp, roster countdown series, I'm not good at many things. I'm not. I'm bad at most things. In fact, I'm pretty good at recognizing bubble roster players that should be getting more playing time. That's all I'm saying. I don't bring back positivity or brag too much on myself, I don't think. But in that one area, I feel like we've been pretty consistent. That's just me. That's just me. I'm catching up on the chat. We got nobody behind Bosa if he goes down. Za'Darius Smith is the one that makes the most sense. I like Za'Darius Smith. I want Harold Landry Jr. or Harold Landry III. He would cost more. Za'Darius Smith is much cheaper. Yes, Ridgeway was amazing. I don't think he's on a team right now. Yeah, Za'Darius Smith for a fourth. I ain't mad about it. I ain't mad about it at all. you guys are going off the charts. I freaking love it, man. You guys are the best. Now, Shot J says, Evan Anderson, my current Ridgeway player, just huge, eat space, keep doing that. That's needed in this offense. It really, really does. It is needed in this defense. And so that's what we got to have. What's up, Sin? How we doing? So glad to see you guys. Bozzy Mayan. Hopefully Drake Nugent or Feliciano can take Brindle's spot. I'll say this. Brindle had a bad game this week against the Cowboys. It was bad. It was really bad. He had his best game maybe ever a week before. It's just up and down. Like, what are you getting? And so you just got to kind of roll the dice. I think the 49ers are happy with what they have at the offensive line, which is crazy for a lot of fans to see. Teams don't trade offensive linemen very much. Cam Robinson just got traded at left tackle. I thought that was a crazy trade. Vikings got him cheap, cheap, cheap. But, yeah, and I'm with you right here, Invader. I'd be surprised if Feliciano is ever activated unless there's an injury. Yeah, I think they're just going to sit him there and just use him as, you know, break glass in case of emergency. There's a lot of guys coming off IR. You only get eight. You already used one. And Kalia Davis. So now we're down to seven. Yeah, CMC, that's six. Dre Greenlaw, that's five. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're running out of numbers. You still got a lot of football left. So you got to be smart with those spaces. Remember back in, I guess it was 2022, we ran out of spots. We ran out of spots because we thought we were going to have Jimmy G come back in the playoffs and something bad happened. Well, something bad happened. Jimmy G wasn't ready. And again, I'll go back to times John Chapman's wrong. I thought Jimmy G was sandbagging because he was in his feelings. No. See, he was actually hurt. He wasn't even ready for training camp after he signed with the Raiders. Almost blew up that whole contract thing. So anyway, I was wrong back then. Wrong all the time. Orlando says, John, what's your ideal starting lineup for both defense and offense if everyone was healthy? You know, I'll say this. I would want Mustafa and Hufanga at safeties and rotate some Jair Brown in. I like Jair Brown coming off his best game, maybe of his career. Jair Brown was awesome versus the Cowboys, but he's been really, really bad. He's currently the 44th ranked safety in the NFL. Obviously, Dre Greenlaw, number two, D Winters, number three. I'm moving Sam O into the starting lineup. I don't think I'd make many more changes on defense. Offensively, I want Jennings in the X spot. I want Jennings as the Ayuk role. I want Debo in the Debo role. And I want Ricky Pearsall as the slot guy. That's what I want. Now, I also want to slowly get Pearsall in the X role as well. So I want those kind of swapping. And the first guy off of the bench as a wide receiver should be Cowling. Offensive line wise, I would just swap in Feliciano for Brindle, or at least rotate. Let's just see. Might not work. But I've seen Brindle. We've all seen Brindle. And the consistency is just never there. It's just never there. And it's not like he's awful. He's currently the 16th ranked center. But he's only good for a second and a half of every single play. I mean, if you calculated like whose defender makes the tackle every single time, like which offensive lineman, their assigned player that they have to block in certain situations. Now it's always combo and whatever else. Jake Brindle's guy, 2 out of 5 times, it's always his guy. Hey, he just can't sustain blocks. He's just not strong enough. He never has been. That's why he's been a career whatever. But good player. I want him on the team. It's just that would be the change there. And, man, running back, obviously, CMC. However, behind CMC, I'm a Jordan Mason guy. But if Brock Purdy will check the ball down to Isaac Garrido, he won't do it to Jordan Mason. He will to Garrido. Then Garrido should be number two. That's hard for me to say. Jordan Mason's way better than Garrido, but Brock Purdy won't throw him the ball, period, at all. And so if that changes your offense that much because Purdy doesn't trust him or whatever, it's funny because the film, you look at the film in the pass game, like Isaac Garrido's horrible. I think he's our worst pass blocking guy. He's got Purdy killed. Yeah, he's got the lowest pass blocking grade. Nope. Eric Saubert's 1 point lower. 26.6 for Isaac Garrido in the pass blocking game. And then in the pass option game, running routes, he is the worst as well. Like, he's been awful. And I know somebody's like, well, he hasn't played that many snaps. 44 of his snaps has been in the pass game. He's only played 93 snaps. Isaac, he's terrible. Even the screen that they called for him, he ran it. How do you run a screen wrong, man? So, but if Purdy will throw it to him, he should be the number two. Because our offense is not the same offense whenever you won't check down the damn ball. You got to check down the ball. You got to check down the ball. Ah, man. Got to check down the ball. Now, I posted bets for this week. They are up. I didn't put a lot of bets out there. I put a couple, a 2-game teaser and a 3-game teaser up. And then also the election, wherever you are with that. Don't want to go into that. But you can bet the election if you think a certain candidate's going to win. Go put some money on it. Why not? If you know. But whatever you do and wherever you bet, here's where you got to go.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS49ers or scan this QR code next to me. And they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit in MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right here, AJ. John, is it worth Huff coming back with a cast early or wait longer and hopefully have him later? Agent reported he's going with the cast in trial. Yeah, bring him back. Put him on special teams and have him as a backup safety. Like, a lot of people disagree with me on this, and that's totally fine. Hufanga is better than any safety we have, and it isn't close. Malik Mustafa is showing signs of being a stud. Stud. Having said that, that dude is not diagnosing the play very well at all. It takes him an extra count to figure out what's happening, but once he does, he shows up in a hurry. I love Malik Mustafa. I really, really do. And I like Jair Brown, too. That dude's just given up so many huge plays in the pass game and run game, missed tackles. He didn't this game. He had one huge missed tackle, but the play got called back on a penalty. The penalty had nothing to do with him. But, like, I'm telling you, if you're in love with Malik Mustafa, then I want Hufanga and Malik. If you're in love with Jair Brown, cool, then I want Hufanga and Jair. Put Malik on every special teams out there. But he's bad with all the missed tackles there. So I don't care. I'll take Hufanga in any way, shape, or form. This is an all-pro player. He is our number one safety, and I do not think it's close. If I had to do the safety rankings, it would be Hufanga, giant gap, Malik, then Jair, then Odom. But, yeah, any way you can get him back, even if it's just with a cast, because you know you're going to bring him back anyway, so you got to use that roster spot. Put Hufanga out there on special teams with the cast, and if somebody gets hurt, he can go in at safety. But, yes, any way you get Hufanga back, get that dude on the field. Get that dude suited up. He is just too damn good. Ah, people forget, man. When Hufanga went out against the Bucks last year, that's when it was. Run game against the 49ers changed overnight. Now, since that point, teams have ran the ball very well against this outside. When he was there, they could not do it. And he's one of the best alley fillers, period, whenever it comes to run fits. I freaking love Hufanga, man. I don't know what to say. Whenever he's not with the 49ers anymore, and I doubt that he will be after this year, I'm going to be very sad. He is one of my favorite people and players. Freaking love that dude. Hope we find a way to keep him. Rainier, thank you for the super chat. If we make a deep run, could we see Hargrave back? Yes. Torn triceps have come back. My issue is he, unlike CMC, unlike Hufanga, unlike Greenlaw, will not get the ramp up period to get good. We saw Hargrave come back from injury last year in the playoffs. He was the worst player we had on the field for the divisional round and the NFC championship round. He was terrible. And so, like, I mean, God, he played both those games where he gets backup left guards. He got owned by both of them. And when we put in the backup, Javon Kinlaw dominated, the same player that was dominating Hargrave. Then you get to the Super Bowl, and Hargrave tore it up. That dude was a baller in the Super Bowl. My problem with him coming back on a deep run, is he going to be able to get that ramp up period again, or is he going to cost us in the playoffs again? That's my concern. If he can come back, yes. Maybe you put him, the 49ers won't do this. They don't do this. But you put him in the rotation and, you know, say you get 8 to 12 snaps in the division round or the NFC championship. Great. Like, having that rotation is good, but good Lord, you can't put him out there as a starter. We've seen this with this same player get destroyed. Yes, the 49ers are better with Hargrave. Not Hargrave getting 40 snaps and being not effective in the run game and not effective in the pass game. He had one good game, though. He did. Radier, J.J. tore his pec. It was back midseason. J.J. and Hargrave are totally different players. I agree with you. It can't be done. But, it was bad, man. It was bad. Don't say that, Invader. You've never liked Hufanga. He says, not sure Hufanga ever plays another down with us. Jackson either. Well, Jackson's season, his contract tolls. So we got Jackson for a whole nother year. But yeah, he hasn't been good. He's been awful. We're not wearing the road whites. We're wearing the reds. For the 49ers Tampa game, I have this from the NFL. We're wearing the traditional reds, so not the 94s. Right? We're wearing the solid reds. They're wearing the whites. A lot of time, Florida teams, the home team gets to pick. And a lot of times, Florida teams pick whites to wear at home because it's so stinking hot. You force the opposing team to play in the darks, the dark colored jerseys, because it's hotter. So, Yaffe, Hufanga misses too many tackles. Well, you're going to hate Malik Mustafa then. And you're going to hate Jair Brown then, because they both have a worse tackle percentage through their careers already than Hufanga has for his career. And there's a big difference between Hufanga rookie year and second, third year. But that's okay. Yeah, we're allowed to disagree on that. No worries. Right here, Dave, Hufanga's days with the Niners were doomed once I won his jersey at John's draft party. Thanks, John. Yep, I ruined it. I love it whenever I... I want to go off the rails here. I'll say something on Twitter or on a show, right? Like, oh, the 49ers have never lost when blah, 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 blah. Or it doesn't even matter what it is. And, like, I'll get, like, 10 DMs. Way to go. You just cursed it. Now we're doomed to lost. Now we're doomed to lose this game. Now we have no chance because of what you said. I'm like, look, guys. I'm not saying you're saying this, Dave. Dave's a friend. Anyway, I don't have that much power. I don't believe in curses. I don't believe that if I say something, you know, knock on wood or whatever, and if I don't, then it's going to happen the opposite. I'm sorry. There's not that much intergalactic power in the hands of John Chapman. I wish there were. I can't even control what we eat for dinner. So even if I wanted something, my wife's like, I don't want that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. it's what it is. So it is funny, though, how many people like, honestly, like, get mad at me because I say something like that. I just don't buy into that way of logic. And if you do, that's not bad. I'm not trying to, like, shoot it down. I'm just telling you I don't have that power. You could believe others have that power, and you go with what you believe. But I could reverse jinx it. Oh, the 49ers have never lost the Super Bowl to win it the following year. That's never happened. So therefore, if so facto, 49ers have to win the Super Bowl this year because I just jinxed it, and it has to happen the opposite. Boom, owned, we got that one. Whew. All right, good. Glad we solved. We solved the entire 2024 season. We're winning the Super Bowl now. We have to. Because I just reverse jinxed us. So I know somebody's listening to this and they're just like, jinxes are real. And that's okay. I love you. Like, disagreements are great. here's where I am right now. I'm like, should I be more of an a-hole and go give a long list of things that I just completely don't believe in just to trigger people? But I don't want to be mean just because I think it's funny. But I love you guys. I love everybody. If you believe in Jesus, that does not discount our friendship or relationship or whatever the hell this is. I do. I totally want to go off on so many different levels. I'm not going to do it. Anyway, I'm going to move on. I'm an adult. I can do this. Let's talk about the NFC West. You know, the 49ers finally get a break. I liked where the bye week was scheduled because you hate the early bye. The early bye is gross. And so the week 9 bye week is kind of perfect. Split your season in half. It's right at the trade deadline. All good things. So here's Brock Purdy talking about how they feel heading into the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a great week for all of us to just continue to rest up and heal up and then just be hard on ourselves on the film and where we can be better, because the second half of the season is everything. Every game matters. And it's the most important stretch. That obviously you go back to the history of this place, like, this is when it matters. And you put your head down, you don't look up to the end. So it'll be good for everyone to get healthy and be ready come Tampa Bay. And, that's the main focus and point. So
that's huge. So the NFC West, it's just lock jammed. You've got 3 teams at 4-4. You got the Rams at 3-4. Now, to look at what they got going on. So the bye week, we can't get hurt. We're just rooting against team. It's haters ball week. Dave Chappelle, hate. I hate you and I hate everything about you. I've never met you. Anyway, the Bears play at the Cardinals. So the Cardinals got home. And what's crazy is the Cardinals are favored. They're -2. And one of the bets, I'm taking the Bears personally. I think that the Bears have a better defense. I think that coaching staffs are kind of a wash, but that's a toss-up game. I really, really do think that one. So Bears at Cardinals, that's going to be a very important game. And if, this is a big if the Cardinals lose, the 49ers would jump up to the top of the tie system, whatever. It would be in first place. I know week 9 doesn't really matter about that, but that's okay. Then we've got an NFC West showdown. Rams at Seahawks. And what's crazy, the Seahawks are underdogs at home. They are dogs at home. 1.5 points, but still, that's crazy. Vegas is all in on the Rams. They're at 3-4. They're in sole last place. But if they win this game, they jump to 4-4. That bumped the Seahawks out. All kinds of crazy stuff's going to go on. So those two games are huge. Somebody got to lose. That's the best part. And then the Bucs, they're our next opponent. And the Bucs play the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. The Chiefs are favored by 8.5 points. And the Bucs got to play at Kansas City on Monday Night Football. So back to how this relates to the 49ers. The 49ers have 2 games this year where they have a rest advantage. They have 6 games this year where they have a rest disadvantage. This is our largest. We're plus 8 days, which is awesome. The only other positive game is the Dolphins week 16. We play on Thursday, but then we got to fly all the way to damn Miami. And so we get a +3 rest day for that one. 49ers in the season rest disadvantage, -21 days. The 3rd worst in NFL history. Gosh, that schedule screwed us over. At least we got a good bye week. Focus on the positive. We got a rest advantage coming up against the Bucs. We got a perfect bye week placement for the trade deadline, all those things. So positive, positive, positive. Those are good things. Yeah, I like all the Jinx comments. Shot J says, John, go score Stirth. Like, I have that in the back. You know, you got those, like, two, like, shoulder angels and the devil or whatever. Man, the devil on my shoulder is much louder than the positive. It's just what it is. I don't know why, but anyway, I will refrain from upsetting more people. oh, man. Yeah, RTP. Yeah, this is the appropriate way from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint, about the rest disadvantages all year. It is what it is. Handle your damn business. Thank you. Matthew always get like, Matthew, you don't believe in excuses, man. That dude, he had a bad day in his life. That dude positive every time I've ever been around him. Thank you, man. So let's finish up with rankings through the midway point. And again, we're doing a unit by unit ranking from PFF. It's flawed. I get it, but it matters. Okay. So let's look at the offense as a whole. Let's start there. Offense is second overall. Offense is working, and it doesn't matter whether you're going DVOA, you're going yards, we're second, you're going points, we're eighth. Like, the offense is the offense. Kyle Shanahan, all the injuries, whatever else. The offense is performing well, and yeah, you'd like more points, but we're still top eight on points scored. Offense is working. Passing overall, we're eighth. Pass blocking, we're 13th, which is solid. That's slightly above average. That's the best you're going to get with Jake Brindle, Colton McKivitz. Like, 13, if you told me we're going to stay at 13 for the rest of the year, all right, I'll take it. I'll take it. That's the biggest deficiency on this team. You take it. Receiving, we're third, which is crazy. A lot of that's George Kittle. George Kittle has been on fire. Yeah, he's playing really, really well. Running, we're 12th. Run blocking, we're second. And for all the criticism that Colton McKivitz gets, that dude is a baller in the run game. He is a baller. Dominique Pounou, baller in both. Yeah, Jake Brindle, that's probably at his best passing, pass blocking, not at his best run blocking. He can get there. He just can't stay there. So that's the offense. Defensively overall, we're seventh on PFF, which is crazy. But as we go through each of these individual categories, I think it makes more sense. Run defense, we're 26. We're not good at that. Missed tackles, I mean, we're 21st. It's the defensive tackle play. It's the bad linebacker play. It's the bad safety play. It's all those things. Pass rush, we're ninth. Nick Bosa, Evan Anderson, Sam O, Malik Collins, they're showing out. In coverage, we are first. Coverage, the 49ers have the best coverage in the NFL. That's nuts to me with all the missed assignments and whatever else. But that's where we are. Special teams, 25th. That's pretty gracious. Overall, the 49ers are third. And, you know, we do these rankings for opposing teams week in and week out. And you're like, man, how can the 49ers be overall third with all those things I just said? Every team has deficiencies, major deficiencies. The 49ers have their own as well. They really, really do. Yeah, right here, Tommy. Go, Scumhawks. Yeah, I think I'm rooting for the Seattle Seahawks. I am. I do not want the Rams involved. Plus, we've already beat them. Our only divisional win is against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, we need to play all three again. So, I personally would like the Seahawks to win. That's just me. So, Patrick, yeah, I was just watching your last show and then seeing you live on here. There we go. We get to double the dose of Chapman. Hopefully, that's not a bad thing. Hopefully, it's not. Now, if you guys are coming out to Tampa Bay after the bye week, man, you got to come party with us and Frank Gore. Golly, I cannot wait. We are so close. Ticket sales are going insane. This is going to be our largest party we've probably ever had. So the day before, Saturday, November 9th, from 2 to 8 p.m., Frank Gore and the entire 49ers Rush Road Trip team is going to be out at the Brick House Tavern. It's going to be an absolute blast. If you're going to the official 49ers invasion, we're one block away. We changed our location so that we could be there. You go to the entire Niners invasion event, then come party with us. We start when they finish. We do not want to pull people in different ways. That's not who we are. Get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And then our tailgate. Guys, I have to tell you this. Our tailgate's going to run out of spots. We have sold a ridiculous amount, and it is awesome. And everybody is going to have unlimited food, drinks, beverage, liquor covered. Giveaways. We're one block east of the stadium at 3407 West Hyder Street. But if you're one of those people that's like, oh, let's wait, we'll get tickets later, here's what's about to happen. The ticket prices are going to go up a little bit because we went over our numbers, so we have to pay for extra workers. And then the ticket sales are going to stop because I don't want to oversell too much. I want to make sure everybody gets enough. I've never thrown a party where we've run out of alcohol and drinks, and I won't start now. That's a big deal to me. Yeah, an invader. Who doesn't love an open bar with premium drinks? We got bartenders out there, man. This ain't – we don't play. We don't play. It's going to be a blast. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And if we just look at the rest of the year, we've got three parties left. Week 10, we're at Tampa Bay. Week 13, we're going to be out at Buffalo freezing our rear ends off. And then week 18, we're going to be down in Arizona for what might be the determiner for who wins the NFC West. Isn't that crazy? This year's been weird. But the 49ers are in complete control of whatever it is that they want to do moving forward. Ah, so pumped. You guys are awesome. Hopefully you enjoy this show. Thanks again to the executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, Kilted 49er David Gill. Love you guys, and until next time, stay strong, faithful.